Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from July 12th, 2023. We'll dive right into this week's video with the major asset class review, as well as a brief look at action we've seen transpire within DALI. Looking first at the performance of the indices we follow on the video here, saw commodities lead the way to the upside with GSG up over 3% there. Also saw the S&P equal weight as well as the Russell 2000 finish the week in positive territory. This is looking since Monday's close with the holiday abbreviated week. But generally speaking, we've also seen most U.S. equity indexes finish in negative territory, with leading the way to the downside was the NASDAQ 100, just down 59 basis points there. Also seeing bonds in the U.S. dollar down over 1%, looking at DJ Core and AGG. Looking at GSG's chart, we see it reverse back up into a column of X's. A move above 2050 would be a second buy signal for the first time since that for early part of 2020 there. And then moving on over to the Russell 2000 chart, we saw it move to a buy signal yesterday there at 1900, rallied up to 1910. It's the highest level we've seen since the early part of March. So seeing some further notable rallies out of small caps, adding a little bit of breadth there to the market, as we see as far as some rallies within the U.S. equity indexes. Additionally, seeing that similar picture with the S&P equal weight, SPX EWI, as it's rallied up to 6,200 with today's action, and that's the highest we've seen it since the early part of February, and it's nearing that overbought territory in the top of the trading band there at 6,250 on its default chart. So seeing some additional breadth with the indicators, also with the bullish percent for the NYSE increasing further up to 54%. We've also seen the BBSPX increase up closer to that 70% mark, currently sits there at 68%. So seeing additional increases there on the bullish percents, and even seeing a few more PT charts on the potential of reversing back into X's. Moving on over to DALI, haven't seen much did see the change this week, this past week, with fixed income falling down to sixth, and really currencies moving up to the fifth position here. It's the first time we've seen fixed income in that sixth position, looking back at least a decade plus. And then from there, additional action on the asset class level. We saw domestic equities pick up quite a few buy signals here, inching a little bit closer to international, firmly putting international domestic in the first and second place there. On the domestic equity front, we've seen energy perk up here a little bit, moving from 10th to 8th, actually picked up about 15 buy signals since last Thursday when we look at that tally count there in the history. And additionally, I've also seen energy uptick on the commodity level as well. Continue to see some jockeying, obviously, within fixed income, as it's now fallen down to that low point and sitting in six within DALI. But to discuss for more on the asset class group scores view, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. Welcome to July as we move further into this part of the seasonal inflection quarter. Let's take a look at some of the top line indicators, with the money market percentile rank, you know, jumping over the week as we see great distress or further distress in various fixed income funds, for example, boosting this MMPR level. The core percentile rank actually moves higher than where we started in July. We're running very close to the 99th percentile here against all asset classes around the world. The intermediate bullish percent for all equity funds moves up another notch here as it began to do so in June. We're really close to this 80% level in actual readings. So good news for equity funds. You know, as we take a look at the asset classes that score above three, we don't have as many as what we started July with. We still have around 80 above three, but we're widening in our scores above four. This is the most we've seen, or I've seen, certainly in a couple of years. The majority of the constituents therein are equity. As we take a look at that growth, domestic moved up in here over the, you know, really over the week, and mid cap growth is really close to moving into the above four score area. The international versus equity scores, which, you know, there was a challenge here that began around in March. The U.S. equity score, the blue line, is continuing to bode well against the all international score. I would say this is the widest I've seen it this year. So we've got some, you know, I think good competition, and both equity groups are doing well, but that US is really putting on an edge here that we can see here. You know, when we take a look at the value growth contrast, you know, both groups are are inclining as we move into July. I do see a little bit of improvement in the value funds, you know, as we crossed into the month, but the spread is clearly still growth over value. And looking at some of the large cap momentum funds out there, I still see stress there in those, but really I think moving in the right direction. But again, growth still dominant over value. As we take a look at the moving averages, we're upticking again. So July has the highest reading I've seen, certainly this year. We're at 80% positive moving average long-term on equity funds. And the PT reading also moves up again in July, up about 3 points, showing very strong trend levels in equity. As we take a look at the score directional leaders on the system, let's focus on technology, which makes a new score high as it continues to voyage upwards. But also importantly is this large, mid, and small growth, all at relative score highs, moving higher in this list. Kudos to small growth to make it in this list. Haven't seen it compete in the top directional leaders for quite some time, but here it is. I mean, as we zoom out, let's take a look at this idea of the average U.S. equity diversified fund breaks into new score ground. We've kind of mentioned that kind of theme over the month or so, and we're still doing it. We reached a high score just yesterday. What I'm showing you here is the month close of June, but we're still moving higher there. In contrast, low vol equities, for example, closed on a low for the year. And then further exacerbated that. So right now actually is even lower than the close or the opening of July. Commodities closed at a low for June, a three-year low to consider that, and is meandering around that level at this point. And then China closed at a low for the year, down below one, which it rarely does, and is hovering around that area. Maybe that's an opportunistic contrarian thought there. China doesn't go below score of one very often. As we kind of consider this macro alignment of asset classes, the spread of the top asset classes, which are U.S. equity and other equity, is pulling further away from the bottom asset classes, which are traditional asset classes used in asset allocation, certainly historically. So that's still the theme here, equities pulling away from the other asset classes even further. But for more on momentum and the dollar, let's move over to John.
Thanks a lot, Steve. So looking at what's going on in the momentum area of the market, I wanted to show something a little bit different this week. We normally show the spreads, which is a indication of a high momentum basket versus a low momentum or laggard basket. But what we're showing this week is a high momentum index versus its broad market benchmark. So relative performance of high momentum in a specific region versus the broad market. We have a global index on the top left, domestic top right, developed markets bottom left, and emerging markets bottom right. And you can see how the progression's going. So emerging markets, that kind of turned versus the broad market earlier this year. And that red line is a 50-day moving average. That continues to trend upwards. We're seeing the turn more recently out of developed. So bottom left there, and that moving average is kind of turned upward. Those are very positive signs for what's going on with momentum in those areas. More recently, and this week, we've gotten breaks above the 50-day moving average on the domestic side and the global side. That global basket does have a lot of U.S. securities in it right now. But focusing on what's going on in domestic, we had a test of it earlier, but we've really kind of broken through this week. I would expect that to continue, and hopefully that progression we will see follow emerging, developed, and then down into domestic. We'll get that 50-day moving average turned up. That would indicate much better performance potential for momentum strategies heading into the second part of the year. Momentum has really been an underperformer this year, mainly due to the fact that we had the large laggard rally at the beginning of the year, and those laggards have now become leaders. We're starting to see those high momentum indexes change, right? And a lot of those laggards are now slipping into the leader basket as we rebalance those each month. Now, moving over to the US dollar, the inflation report came out today. We saw inflation numbers that were lower than expected. We've had inflation coming down for the last 12 months. That's really led to the dollar kind of falling apart, a lot of currencies rallying against the dollar as people think maybe we're not going to have to raise rates as much as we would have had that inflation number come in really hot. So the chart of the US dollar continues in a downtrend. It's been this way for quite some time. We'll probably put in another box to the downside today after we get the closing data. So right now that downtrend does continue. That should benefit areas like international equities, maybe even commodities, things like that. But for more on what's going on in the currency space, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thank you, John. It was a relatively muted week for the cryptocurrency space over the last 7 days. Most of the NASDAQ crypto index did find itself in the red for the last week. That only led to a couple of column reversals here back down into O's. However, I will note we didn't really see too many of those signal changes, which is a positive sign. We saw the weekly overbought oversold readings. We fall back down towards normalized levels there. So, you know, mostly across the board might be a decent opportunity to look at some buying opportunities for some of these larger coins, which, as we've mentioned in previous weeks, really have continued to hold up better than some of those smaller coins within the space. We'll wrap up with one comment here, that being for Ethereum. This one is one of the larger, more kind of household names for the crypto industry. Two consecutive buy signals recently also just moved into positive weekly momentum. So we typically see those stay positive for around 6 to 8 weeks or so. So catching it on a flip might be a decent kind of shorter term indicator for Ethereum. Nice support offered there at 1662 and so, and just above the bottom of the trading band and bullish support line at 1436. With that said, though, I will go ahead and wrap it up and pass it over to Joseph to talk about size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And we saw a small change here on the Dolly size and style rankings with mid-cap growth moving above large-cap value, kind of just continuing of that trend we've seen of growth outpacing value. Now, on the asset class group scores page here, all nine size and style groups are now scoring above 3 with small-cap value back above that 3.0 score threshold. First time in quite a while that we've seen this happen. So while we are seeing growth, you know, maintain leadership over value, we are seeing the market begin to broaden out, which is always a welcome sign. Kind of getting back to a chart we looked at a little bit earlier, but looking at IWM here, the Russell 2000 ETF, its score popped above 3 yesterday for the first time since February of this year. So after that, a lot of weakness in the wake of the regional banking crisis, IWM has worked its way back to have a fund score above 3.0. Now, there's a couple of levels here to the upside to keep in mind, 198 and 200. And if we look at a longer-term scale on this 4.0 chart here, we can kind of see where this 196 and 200 have been big issues in the past. I think that 200 level is going to be really important to keep in mind. That was the August high of last year. If we can get above that, things are looking a lot better from a technical perspective, from a long-term technical perspective for small caps. Getting into financials and healthcare here on the individual sector side, no real changes in the rankings so far. We do see financials here in the ninth spot, tied with utilities, which has moved lower. So we'll see if it can separate itself a little bit further from utilities, but still an area, broadly speaking, you're going to want to avoid. And then we have healthcare here in kind of an equal weight posture, although I will say it's not an area where you would really want too much exposure. Individual stock exposure would be preferred over broad exposure. Now, looking at KRE here, the regional banking ETF, this has been a big indicator of how small caps have been faring. You know, while it does have a really poor fund score of 0.47, we did see it move back to a positive trend today for the first time since March. I will say there's a lot of overhead resistance in this 44 to 44.50, or excuse me, $44 to $45 range here. I'd like to see it get above 45. That was kind of its last mark. It hasn't been able to get above that since March. So that's an area to watch out for, but a good indication here, or at least a good start with a move back to a positive trend. Looking at just the broad financial select spider fund here, XLF, 1.84 fund score. We do see some improvement over the last couple of months. Did move to a buy signal, added another X today. Now, we've been very sideways with this fund going back to May of last year, unable to really break out to the upside. And the lows have provided some good support here in the 30 and 30, 50 area. So for now, I think you're seeing some positive developments in the short term, but on an intermediate and long-term basis, still an area you're going to want to avoid for the time being. Now, one stock to keep an eye on is JP Morgan, which does have earnings on Friday. So that's something to keep in mind. In terms of the big bank stocks, this is arguably the best looking from a technical perspective. You just saw it break a quadruple top here, spread quadruple top at 146. It has continued higher today to 148. It is a 3-for-5-er. So we're not seeing overwhelming strength, but a good acceptable tech attribute score there. And a really fine technical picture on its trend chart, at least so far. Again, we do have earnings on Friday, and that's going to be something to watch out for. Moving over to healthcare, looking at the Invesco S&P Equal Weight Healthcare ETF, does have a fund score 4.73 and a positive score direction. However, really no chart change over the last month. So again, a sector that broadly speaking has traded sideways for the last year or two. And one, you're going to want to be very selective with your exposure on individual stocks. And then lastly here, looking at United Health Group, another stock that has earnings on Friday. It is a 2-for-5-er. It is a major player in the healthcare space. So those earnings are going to be something to watch. Has held the support in the mid 440s, right at 448, but not a very good technical picture going back to the end of last year, as we've seen the stock kind of trend lower here, aside from a pop in April. But those earnings will be something to watch on Friday. And I'll go ahead and pass on over to David.
Thanks, Jim. We'll dive right into consumer cyclical, as well as briefly talk about a few utility stocks that we might want to keep an eye on. But first, diving into the cyclical space, we saw XLY a little bit of negative territory for the week, technically speaking, but still sits in overbought territory currently on its chart there at 172. Haven't really seen XL out of XLY just yet. And really, from recent action, we've seen a lot of it come from cruise lines, airlines, as well as automakers last week, but under somewhat of the radar has been home construction, still showing the most strength out of the group. Not so much a recent rally, but one that has been continued and sustained that we've seen. ITB, the iShares US Home Construction ETF, currently maintains a near perfect score of 5.97. From that standpoint, it actually has continued to rally with action yesterday, completed double top there at 86 for a new high, and for subsequently a ninth consecutive buy signal on the chart there. So continuing to see a strong trend since this bottom here in October, and ultimately not seeing much let up out of it. Not quite as overbought as many other spaces within, or many other industries within the cyclical space, but maybe best dollar cost average into ITB right now. An individual stock you could look to is going to be Lennar Corporation, LEN. It's a 4-for-5-er with today's action reverses back into X is there at 126. Maybe another one you look to possibly dollar cost average into as well at the moment, but nice support there at 120 as well as 106. And it also, with a move above 128, would give its eighth consecutive buy signal since November in its particular case for Lennar. Moving on over to Domino's, came out with news this morning that they're going to start a partnership with Uber and ultimately listing their menu on the Uber Eats app. Initially, one might think, oh, is Domino's getting rid of their delivery drivers? That's not necessarily the case. They're actually just listing the menu on the Uber Eats app, offering it as another platform that you can order Domino's pizza from. They're still retaining the delivery of said pizza in-house with Domino's. So just something to keep in mind as far as the story you might be hearing out there. But looking at the chart of Domino's, we've seen it rally pretty significantly today, moving up from 352 up to 408, putting it in extremely overbought territory, moving it back above resistance there at 392, which was a rally high in November and early December. At this point, we'll see some near-term improvement from a technical perspective, obviously, but not enough to make it significant and bring it really into actionable territory right now. So it would just be one way to continue to monitor at the moment. The one technical change that we'll see is that it does reverse back into a couple of X's against the S&P equal weight, but still maintains an RSL signal. So really only move up to a 2 for 5-er, as we won't necessarily see that same reversal into a column of X's on its PRRS chart. So still maintains the 2 for 5-er attribute DPZ, and might be one that may keep an eye on, but would generally probably avoid at the moment. The one strong stock within the space is going to be, within the conversation, is going to be Uber, UBER. It's a 5 for 5-er, has maintained that 5 for 5-er attribute rating since the early part of May, which was about the time it gave a buy signal here, breaking that double top there at 34 as it continued to higher up to 45, with recent action has reversed down into a column of O's. May look for it to reverse back into X's ideally before adding here. So that reversal would come with a move back up to 45, putting in a possible higher bottom, but could be one you could look to dollar cost average into at this time, looking for that potential reversal to initiate further. But it does hold a much stronger technical picture than its partnership counterpart, if you will, DPZ, as it maintains that 5 for 5 attribute. As we noted, not a whole lot of change within utilities, but there were a few names that we wanted to give a shout out to. Constellation Energy, CEG. It's been a 3 for 5-er since the early part of June, has moved up well up into the top decile, actually, of the utility sector matrix, has given two consecutive buy signals, with the most recent coming yesterday with a double top break, completing a bullish triangle, continues higher up to 95. A little more of a growth name within the utility space. It has a tiny bit of a yield and just north of 1%, not quite as high as some others within the space. Another one, slight more growth name, if you will, within the utilities is going to be Otter Tail Power Co. It's going to be the OTT. It's a 4 for 5-er, also sits high within that electric utility sector matrix, has a little bit more of a yield there, 2%, but and recently also completed a bullish triangle in the latter part of June there for a third consecutive buy signal. And today's action moves above 80 for a new high mark for 2023, and actually bringing it up to its highest level since August of last year. So seeing some positive developments out of Otter Tail. Well, not quite as much of a high flyer, Pinnacle West Capital Corporation, PNW. It's a 3 for 5-er, sits in the top quartile of the electric utility sector matrix. This one does maintain a yield north of 4%, reversed back into axes with action late last week there, and has maintained a buy signal since the mid part of June. So there's just a few names, possibly if you're looking for yield plays, possibly if you're looking for some type of diversification, if you will. Those are some growth names within the utility space, and one that at least has a decent yield here with PNW. But for more on our sector conversation, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Thanks, David. Just a few things on mainly consumer staples this week. I've talked about real estate the past couple of weeks. Beginning with an orientation of the sector lineup, again, I just want to highlight consumer non-cyclicals or consumer staples. I tend to use that interchangeably. Still sitting fourth, so no change in ranking over the past week. Although beneath the hood, I'll highlight some signs of weakening that we're continuing to see, which I would reiterate is probably good for the broader market to see non-cyclicals keep dropping. Real estate still in the basement. No real changes to those rankings apart from staying concentrated in some individual names there. Consumer staples, I want to highlight. So this is over the past 7-day performance. It's just the major spider sector funds, energy at the top, followed by industrials. If you look all the way to the bottom, you saw consumer staples down 1.6%. Pretty big divergence, all things considered. This is the average group score between consumer cyclicals and consumer non-cyclicals. Consumer cyclicals is your blue line. Consumer non-cyclicals is your red line. So over the past 5 years, if you zoom this in over to the past year, you see this divergence in score intensify, telling us that cyclicals on average, ETFs and mutual funds are continuing to score better than non-cyclicals. And the trend is also widening. Looking at staples, ETF, XLP mentioned it was the bottom of the weekly performance of the major funds. This fund score now is south of 2. This is actually the lowest you've seen in about 5 years for the consumer staples ETF here. No change in the chart action, still firm resistance at 77, continuing to show some absolute weakness. So I've kind of talked down to staples for most of the time here, but there are plenty of individual stocks within the space that still look half decent. This is Lamb Weston, ticker LW. Few stronger stocks in the food and beverages sector. Just pulled back yesterday below the middle of its trading band. This still looks strong to me and worthy of exposure. Another name is Monster Beverage. I've highlighted this one a fair amount. Just want to reiterate today that you're getting a potential shakeout pattern should you get the reversal up to 59 to get that three box reversal. Well, that would be the action point for the shakeout here. Five attribute stock, not a ton negative to say about this one either. So don't necessarily feel like you got to dump the whole sector. One more I want to end with is going to be Coors TAP. Chart tends to look pretty strong, pulled back yesterday to the middle of the trading band. Also note, you're coming off a multi-year downtrend. So this downtrend started in really early 2018, went all the way through the latter part of 2020. And since 2020, the stock's been building. So this looks like an actionable name as well. That's all I had for updates this week. So I'll give it over to Jamie now.
Thanks, Will. Basic materials remains third in the Dolly sector rankings. The select sector Spider Materials Fund ticker XLB returned to a buy signal and a positive trend on the last day of Q2 when it broke a double top at $83. The fund crossed above the 3.0 score threshold into acceptable territory. Industrial metals appears to be responsible for much of the improvement we've seen in XLB. The Spider S&P Metals and Mining ETF up about 6.5% over the last 30 days, while XLB was up around 3.8%. XME reached $52 on its default chart today, giving it a second consecutive buy signal and returning it to a positive overall trend. XME has seen its fund score continue to improve recently and crossed above the 3.5 score threshold. So some positive signs here for materials, mostly coming from industrial metals. We have seen some headwinds from precious metals as yields have risen. Although with the action in yields today, we may possibly see that reverse, but a little bit more on that later. Moving on to energy, it moved up to eighth in the Dolly sector rankings. The Energy Select Spider Fund, ticker XLE, and gave a second consecutive buy signal and returned to a positive trend on Monday. We have also seen XLE's fund score steadily improve over the last month. It also now is above the 3.5 score threshold. So definitely some positive developments for energy here with that second consecutive buy signal for XLE. Obviously, based on the Dolly sector ranking, energy remains an underweight. However, if you are looking to add or change some exposure, one stock to take a look at is Cheniere Energy, ticker LNG. Cheniere's main business is natural gas, which has been one of the stronger areas of the energy commodities market recently. LNG returned to a buy signal late June and then returned to a positive trend earlier this month when it hit 154. Now a three for fiver, Cheniere ranks in the top half of the oil sector matrix. And we can also see that it's been on a PRS buy signal since 2011. So showing long-term relative strength against the rest of the oil or energy stocks in that DWA matrix. So Cheniere, possibly a stock to look to add to your energy exposure. Although, as I mentioned, the sector does remain an underweight based on the Dolly sector ranking. So that's all I have on materials and energy this week, and I will pass it over to Miles to cover communication services.
Thanks, Jamie. We will go ahead and get started here with communication services. It remains in the seventh position within the Dolly rankings. However, I will note we could see some further jockeying with position as it is tied with energy and only within three signals of both financials and utilities. No changes for XLC or any of the other major funds over the last day. So we'll take a look, starting with Walt Disney. Haven't mentioned this one in quite some time. It's a 1-for-5er. Only point that it's earning is it's on a buy signal against its peer group. It's within one box of losing that. So technically weak name, not one that we are looking towards right now. Trying to put in some form of bottom here at 88, looking to bounce off that here. Would reverse back up into X's at 91. That would be a decent exit point for short-term holders. If you are looking for more a longer-term position there, you're probably going to look for a trend change there at 98. Moving over into an actual name here, would be Spotify Technology, SPOT. Is a 5-for-5er, is on a string of, you can count them, 13 buy signals here after reversing back up into X's, posting that buy signal at 164, is still in actionable territory and has plenty of nearby support with this beautiful stair-stepping pattern that we've got coming up underneath. So nearby support at 156 and 154, so on and so forth for Spotify. Moving over into the industrials group, it does remain in second there, now eclipsing 200 buy signals over the last week. Is one of those names, one of those sectors outside of technology that you could consider if you're looking to overweight those positions within the group. A couple notable developments for XLI or the equal weighted sector, which we'll take a look at in just a moment. But XLI posted new all-time highs with this week's action, as we posted on Twitter yesterday. Is the first of the spider funds to post new all-time highs this year. It's really kind of broken out of this trading range that we've been in for the better part of a couple of years now. Now seeing a chart reading of 108, are reaching up towards heavily overbought territory with current levels, but nonetheless, probably going to look to dollar cost average into XLI if you're looking for exposure here. Mentioned we take a look at the equal weighted group for the industrials sector. RSPN has a stronger 5.82 fund score, but similar looking technical picture, right? Escaping kind of this broad trading range we've been in for the past 2 years, and reaching up towards the top of the trading band. Another position we're probably going to look to dollar cost average in. A couple of different stocks that we'll take a look at. The first one being Moog Inc. MOG.A is a 5-for-5er, ranks in the top half of that aerospace airline sector matrix. Recently posting a fourth consecutive buy signal here with support offered just above the middle of the trading band at 104. We're reaching up and towards heavily overbought territory with a weekly overbought oversold reading of 75%. So might look to buy on a pullback back towards that support at 104. Next, moving over, we have Old Dominion Freight Line, ODFL. This one is a 5-for-5er as well, ranks in the top portion of that transports and non-air group. Again, similar looking picture, reaching up on a large stem of X's and meeting those 2023 highs at the top of the trading band at 380. Nice to see we put in a localized level of support at 364 for Old Dominion Freight Line. Talked about planes, talked about trains. Now we'll talk about waste management here. Republic Services, RSG, is another 5-for-5er, ranks in the top third of that waste management group with recent action, posted a spread quadruple top there at 150. And this one is in a bit more of an actionable territory with the weekly overbought oversold rate of nearly 35%. So two consecutive buy signals, nice looking chart action. You could take a position today on this one. With that said, though, I will go ahead and wrap up and toss it over to Ian to talk about technology.
Great. Thanks, Miles. So the technology sector continues to sit first in the DALI sector rankings, as David touched on earlier. It picked up 4 RS buy signals during the month of June, so it's at 232 signals currently. So even though we've seen some other areas continue to gain strength, technology has kept that momentum and adding some strength as well over the course of the past few weeks. We've also seen some slight improvement on the longer term participation side. More stocks are moving back into positive trends. Look, and we can see that through the PT for technology chart, the percentage of stocks in the tech sector in a positive trend. It's continued to tick a little bit higher, but we're not quite back at those February highs. So we'll bring that chart into highlight when it hopefully reaches that level. One area that we have seen breakthrough resistance is on the 2-point chart of the equal weight technology ETF. Kind of speaking to some of that breadth improvement, we equal weight the space. We've seen a completion of a bullish triangle pattern with today's movement up to the 296 level on this 2-point chart and kind of meeting that 298 resistance from
June of this year. At 298 level is pretty important because it was also the high that we saw in March of last year. So we'll see, and it'd be interesting to see if we can continue to see some push to the upside here. Would break through that resistance point at 300, see a little bit of resistance at 302. And then after that, when you're moving into 300s from there, we're looking at the beginning of 2022 for further resistance for the equal weighted tech space. Other areas have shown consistent improvement as well. We've seen a little bit of a gain from the semiconductor space over the course of the past couple of days. The space has seen quite a bit of back and forth movement over the past few weeks, kind of led to some consolidation after a real sharp upside participation earlier or in the second quarter of this year. But now we're reversing back up. New convex is forming a triple top at the 154 point. So if we're able to break through that level up to 156, and then we're looking at those all-time highs from late 2021 as the next point of resistance from there. There are a few other areas on the software side that we do want to highlight today as potential areas you could look towards. So the strength has not only been seen in semiconductors, but in software as well. And so one of those being Unity Software Inc. Ticker is just U. This is a name that's given two consecutive buy signals, moved back into a positive trend last month. And now we're seeing some real nice kind of movement of consistent movement of higher lows on the chart, creeping back up towards a potential triple top formation at 45, would break a third consecutive buy signal with that triple top breakout at 46 if it gets to that point. But it is a strong 5 for 5 from an attribute perspective, top decile of that software sector matrix, and also just moved back to an RS buy signal against the market a couple weeks ago. So a name that you could look toward there in the software space. And then the final name we'll look toward in technology also from the software space is HubSpot Inc., ticker HUBS. Another 5 for 5 from an attribute perspective, broke a quintuple top with movement yesterday at that 536 level before ticking up to 544. The default chart is going to be an 8-point per box size chart at the current price level. So I've just made the whole chart an 8-point chart just so you can kind of see more movement on it. But you can see even with this massive move this year up 86% on a year-to-date basis, we're not even north of the highs from February, the rally highs from February of last year. So if we can break through this level, get up to that 560 point, or all of a sudden we're looking at the mid 600s before we see further resistance from there. So a name that you could consider looking toward as well. Initial support at 504 with further support at the 496 point. With that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on for technology. So we'll go ahead and jump into international equities. The international equity space hadn't seen quite as much improvement as other areas in the broader global marketplace throughout the past few months, but we have seen some notable improvement over the course of the past week. This was seen first on the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets ETF, ticker EEM. This broader emerging markets representative with movement today is reversing back up into a column of X's at that 40-50 point. So that puts us back still on a buy signal, still on a bottom trend, and now showing that kind of near-term participation of the upside up at that 40-50 point. So good to see that chart continue to improve, kind of putting in a higher low, kind of riding that trend line up higher. Initial support is going to be down at the 39 point, which is right around the current level at that bullish support line as well. 3.35 fund score, which is suitable, but not quite as high as some other areas in the international space, such as the developed markets representative, looking here toward EFA. This fund is also reversing higher into a column of X's today, moving up at that 73 point, also showing a higher low, fell down to the 70 level in June and July. And then with today's movement, it's ticking back up to that 73 point. So pretty normalized right around the midpoint on its trading band and a strong 4.07 fund score. So even though the score has backed off a little bit from its relative high, we still see that coming in at a strong level there for the broader developed market space. And looking at the broader country matrix rankings, we haven't seen too many changes to kind of the top end of the rankings over the course of the past couple weeks. The real notable winners in the month of June were Brazil and other areas in Latin America continue to gain a lot of momentum, and we've hit on that a lot over the course of the past several weeks. Brazil continues to look very strong, but there's some other areas in emerging markets that have also shown a bit of improvement as well. One of those is India. India ticked back up into the top half of these country rankings with movement over the course of just the past week, so just since the end of June there. So you can see that Brazil is continuing to look pretty strong. We got a little bit of normalization there in July, but now with today's move ticking back up to 3250. So not quite as overbought as we were when we were at that initial rally in July, or in June rather. So it could be kind of an area to look toward on this rally or reversal higher with initial support at 31. India is kind of showing some of those initial rally points that we've seen from other areas, real just sharp movement higher. So we got a reversal up from that 38 level in April of this year, and we've just continued to rocket straight higher all the way up to the 44 level on the default chart here of the iShares MSCI India ETF ticker INDA. So that matches resistance from August and November of last year, but the fund has moved back into a positive trend. So net that resistance would push through to break a spread triple top at 44.50. This move's also left us in pretty overbought territory. So for those looking to add exposure to the broader Indian space, I might want to wait for some kind of a pullback or normalization there in the trading band. But nonetheless, definitely need to look toward as we move through the second half of the year. So with that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for international equities as well. So I'll go ahead and throw things back on over to Jamie.
Thanks, Ian. As David mentioned earlier, fixed income fell to the bottom of the Dolly asset class rankings as rising rates have pushed bond prices lower. The U.S. Treasury yield index broke a triple top at 3.9% and reached 4.05%, matching its 2023 high. However, we did see TNX reverse down today following that CPI release that saw headline inflation come in at 3% with core inflation coming in at 4.8%, both lower than had been expected. With the lower than expected inflation reading, the Fed futures market still pricing in roughly a 92% chance of a rate hike in July, but the odds of an additional increase in the September and November meetings have declined following that lower than expected inflation data. While yields have pushed higher recently, high yield spreads have actually narrowed. We saw a CBUS 10-year spread, which measures the spread between high yield bonds and U.S. Treasuries, reverse down in June, and it has continued lower in July. The narrowing of high yield spreads indicating that, you know, there is a risk on posture towards credit in the fixed income market. So while fixed incomes drop to the bottom of the Dolly asset class ranking, certainly not a good sign for bondholders, possibly a good sign for equities as the rise in yields combined with the fall in high yield spreads, suggesting that the bond market isn't expecting a recession. So, you know, kind of a silver lining in the weakening of fixed income there. You know, I think if the bond market was really kind of pricing in a recession, we wouldn't see yields moving up the way we have recently. And we'd also expect to see high yield spreads moving the other direction. So overall, I think this is kind of a positive sign for the U.S. economy and probably for equities as well. Looking at the fixed income rankings in the asset class group scores, we can see floating rates still at the top of the rankings, and the only fixed income group with a score north of 4, followed by inverse fixed income, reflecting that weakening of the core of the market that we've seen with rising rates. Emerging market income also near the top of the rankings, as we have seen the dollar weaken recently. Also near the top, we see convertible bonds and high yield bonds, convertibles being lifted by the recent strength in equities, and corporate high yields being lifted by that narrowing of spreads that we noted just now. Meanwhile, down at the bottom of the market, the bottom of the rankings, we see a number of rate sensitive groups, US government, treasuries, long duration, all having fallen in score over the last couple of weeks as rates have pushed higher. So overall, you know, weakening of the core fixed income market, dropping fixed income to the bottom of the Dolly asset class rankings. However, outside of the core of the market, still a lot of options. You can see convertible bonds, high yield bonds, floating rates, all, you know, with strong scores, and have actually seen their scores improve recently. So while you definitely kind of probably want to shy away from long duration exposure here, there are quite a few options still available within the fixed income market. And that weakening of long duration, as I mentioned, I think probably not a bad sign for U.S. equities moving forward. So that's all I have on fixed income. We'll go ahead and move on to commodities. Taking a look at the continuous commodity matrix, we can see agricultural contracts still at the top of that matrix. However, natural gas has now moved into number 3. Another a number of other agricultural contracts also in the top 10. And then we can see silver now at number 7 and gold at number 9 as precious metals have weakened recently with that rise in yields. Taking a look at a few individual contracts, first up, crude oil. Crude returned to a buy signal on its default chart last week. We can see now testing its trend line there. A move to 75 would return it to a positive overall trend. One level of resistance there at 75. However, more notable resistance still resides in the low 80s. Crude has reached but failed to break through that 82 or 83 level several times this year. So assuming that we get into the upper 70s, I think that 82, 83 level becomes a key level to watch for crude oil. Obviously, a move through there would be a tailwind for energy equities, but it has been quite a difficult challenge for crude oil. It has been unable to break through that area in the low 80s thus far this year. Further within the energy complex, natural gas did fall to a sell signal last week. However, it is continuing to put in a series of higher rally highs and higher sell-off lows. So continuing that kind of development of an uptrend that we've seen over the last couple of months. I think we kind of see that reflected in the chart of LNG. So definitely seeing some positive signs for natural gas and by extension, natural gas producers. And then finally, taking a look at the chart of gasoline, it returned to a buy signal last week with a triple top break there at 258. Do see several levels of notable resistance nearby, one at 268, another at 272. But overall, seeing some positive signs, obviously, for the energy complex, seeing that kind of upward trend develop for natural gas. Meanwhile, crude oil on the verge of returning to a positive trend and gasoline returning to a buy signal here, taking out pretty notable support there, pretty notable resistance there with a move to 258. So overall, seeing some positive signs for commodities, which did snap a multi-month losing streak in June. I think it's been aided by the fall of the dollar, as John noted earlier. So definitely something to keep an eye on, especially in the energy space, to see if we're going to see a bit of a resurgence from commodities here, which have been on a losing streak for the last several months. So that's all I have for fixed income and commodities this week, and I will pass it over to John to wrap us up.
Thanks a lot, Jamie. So obviously the big news is the CPI print today, which came in lower than people were expecting. That's done some good things for the market, both equities, fixed income, that sort of thing. So that's what we will be monitoring over the course of the next week, and we'll be back to talk to you about all the changes that we're seeing as a result of that.